We are continuing with our sermon series, Gifts That Keep On Giving, by focusing today on the gift of curiosity. Curiosity is an important part of our discipleship because it helps us learn more about God and it helps us grow in our faith. When Jesus began calling people to follow him, he encouraged them to be curious. And we see an example of this with two of the first disciples who wanted to learn more about Jesus. They wanted to know where he was staying and what he was doing. And Jesus invited them to check things out for themselves. Now, this story is found in the first chapter of John. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to that passage. I'll read verses 29 through 42, and the words will also appear on the screen. Again, this is out of the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 29 through 42. Let's listen now to our scripture. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you. Amen. I have the privilege of raising two human beings whom I love with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but they can be a little annoying, and I am confident that they will say the same thing about me. Ava and Owen, am I right? Yeah, we do get on each other's nerves from time to time, just the way it is between parents and kids. Now, one of the characteristics that I've seen in Ava and Owen that has frustrated me at times, but it also thrills me, is their curiosity about life. They want to learn and discover new things. They ask really good questions. Now, some of their questions are easy to answer and some are hard to answer. But this really isn't new because they have been asking questions for as long as I can remember. When they were younger, like 4 and 5 years old, everything that they saw sparked a question. If we were outside on a walk around the neighborhood, they would see a dog and ask who owns that dog. They'd ask questions about who lives in this house or that house. They'd ask questions about bugs and trees and birds. And it seemed like we did more stopping on our walks than actually walking. Now, that frustrated me a little bit, But it also excited me that they were so curious about life. And so I kept saying to myself, curiosity really is a gift. And it is. Now, in my experience, people celebrate curiosity. We think it's a wonderful trait to have. And yet when it's lived out, it can rub people the wrong way. And let me try to explain what I mean. You know, curiosity tries to understand life. It tries to understand why something is the way it is. And yet, in the process of trying to gain understanding, it can be disruptive. Sometimes it even turns life upside down. Now, in our scripture passage, we see curiosity at work in two disciples of John the Baptist. These two men were Andrew and presumably John, though the scripture doesn't name who that other one is. We just assume it's John because he's the author of this gospel. Now, those two had been following John the Baptist for a while. And over time, they heard him talk about Jesus. One day John even pointed Jesus out, and he said, and this is found in verse 29, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the Son of God." When Andrew and John saw Jesus the very next day, they decided to follow him. And they asked Jesus, "Where are you staying?" Now, if you think about that particular moment, those two disciples could have simply enjoyed meeting the person John had pointed out and then walked away. But they didn't. They wanted to see what was next. They wanted to more deeply understand who Jesus is and what his life and ministry means. They wanted to learn more. And ultimately, there was a nagging curiosity that kept them moving. And Jesus encouraged this. When they asked Jesus, "Where are you staying?" he answered them by saying, "Come and see." He extended an invitation to these new friends to check out where he's staying. And so, in other words, he was feeding their curiosity. And Jesus does the same for us. He always invites our curiosity. Now, when Jesus said, "Come and see," he was establishing a pattern for us to live by. It's a pattern of asking questions and seeking understanding. This is an invitation to be curious, and it should shape the way we live and do our ministry. You know, the church should invite and welcome curiosity because it is an important part of discipleship. We Christians should be curious people who are seeking to know Jesus more deeply and to grow in our faith. We should be people who are seeking to better understand how God is working in the world today. And we should be people who are pointing out where we see the presence of God. Now, when we live with curiosity, when we ask questions and grow in understanding, we'll experience a deeper and more meaningful life. It will change and transform us. But our curiosity might also be a little annoying to others, might even be disruptive. You know, sometimes people get unsettled when others start asking questions as to why things are the way they are. And anytime the status quo is called into question, there will be people who throw up resistance. They may even act belligerent because they don't want things to change. Now, this happens in the world of commerce. You know, businesses want to protect their market share. And if a new business arises that threatens what they do, either they'll pretend that it's not a threat and they'll just stick their heads in the sand. Think about Kodak and Blockbuster. You remember those companies? They're not around any longer. Or they might try to through ad campaigns, do things like smear tactics or even take legal action geared at preventing or slowing the development of those new technologies. You know, over a century ago, horse traders were no fans of new technologies and transportation that were being developed. They threw a fit over the development of automobile makers. But just think how those new technologies changed our world. See, the reality is that commerce is driven by curiosity. Curiosity encourages creativity, which leads to new developments, new discoveries, new inventions, and ultimately new business. When I was in college, I remember meeting Bob Page, who was invited to come to speak to one of my business school classes. And his story really illustrates how curiosity can be both disruptive and life-changing. Now, Bob looks just like your average Joe. He stands about 5 feet, 10 inches tall, and when he came to class, he was just wearing Wrangler blue jeans and a dark leather jacket. And he shared his story with us. It's a fantastic story. Back in the 1970s, Bob had been working for a big company, but he wasn't really excited about his work. His passion was with his hobby. Every Saturday morning, he went yard sailing, looking for bargains and hoping that he might find some good china to buy. Now, this was fun for him. He even earned a little extra money because he had a number of friends who had broken saucers or missing plates from their wedding china, and they hoped that Bob might find them some replacements. So Bob began selling replacement china out of the trunk of his car. He even made a few dollars doing this. But then business started to grow as friends told friends about Bob. And that led him to start asking questions. Now, he wondered if there was a bigger market for buying and selling used china. Can you do this outside of the flea market world? And can selling used china become a sustainable business? Now, Bob had a good-paying job, but he decided to take a leap of faith and start his own business because he saw a great opportunity. He also knew that in order to do this right, he had to quit his job. And that was a major disruption. Giving up a dependable salary was risky. And he had to even use up his life savings to get this new company off the ground, which, by the way, he named Replacements Limited. This was back in 1981, and there were no guarantees of success. But Replacements Limited kept growing and growing, and it eventually moved into a massive warehouse that you can see from Interstate 40 in Greensboro. Now, inside that warehouse, you'll find the world's largest selection of old and new dinnerware, china, crystal, silver, and all kinds of collectibles. This is a great business that was born out of curiosity. Now, curiosity can be annoying and disruptive, but it can also lead us into amazing places, especially with our faith in God. Now, Andrew and John were curious about Jesus, and so they followed him one day, and they started asking questions. And on that particular day, it does seem like they spent the whole day with Jesus. You might have noticed a peculiar detail in our scripture passage. It tells us that they remained with Jesus until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I think that's simply the scripture's way of telling us that they stayed together a long time. They stayed the whole day with Jesus. And the word for stay that from the Greek that's used in this passage is the word meno. It refers to the sort of abiding with Jesus that's described throughout the whole Gospel of John. And abiding has to do with relationship. To abide in Jesus is an invitation into a growing relationship. It's an invitation to be curious, to ask questions. and to be nurtured by the very presence of Christ. Jesus encouraged Andrew and John to be curious and to ask questions. Now, they wanted to know more about Jesus, and Jesus said to them, come and see things for yourself. And that's what they did. Now, this sounds really good to us, but we should remember that their curiosity would lead to a major disruption that changed their world. Their curiosity would lead them to leave behind their old lives as fishermen and become a disciple of Jesus. And then over the next several years, they would follow Jesus all over Israel. He would tell them stories and teach them new lessons about God. He would perform miracles in their presence. He would show them how to care for those who are sick and suffering and hurting. He would challenge their prejudices and stereotypes. He would give them purpose by empowering them to carry on his ministry. And with time, they would discover that Jesus really is the Messiah. And all of this would change their understanding of God. It would change their understanding of how God works in the world. And it all started with a question. It all started with curiosity. Now, I hope you're beginning to see the value of curiosity when it comes to our faith. But that may leave you wondering what you can do to help nurture curiosity in your own life. Well, I'd like to suggest to you a couple simple steps that you can take to nurture curiosity in your life. And start by reading widely. You know, take the time to learn things from science, art, religion, sports, and so forth. Yeah, it might reveal some new things that you'd not considered before. Take in different perspectives on life and faith, which includes seeking different interpretations of the Bible and the Christian faith. You know, when you listen to a different interpretation, you might learn something new that you'd not seen before. Also, ask open-ended questions. That really promotes good conversation. It promotes learning. And then that flows into the next one. Listen more than you talk. That can be hard for some of us who do like talking, but it's important to listen. And then converse with someone who looks at life differently than you. Another suggestion I have for you is make "what if" a frequent phrase in your vocabulary. You know, what if God really is working over there in that new place? And then finally, read the book of Acts at least once a year. My nickname for that book is the Gospel According to the Holy Spirit. If you read Acts, you'll see the Holy Spirit at work at every step of the way. It's the Holy Spirit moving and leading the followers of Jesus to carry on his ministry. And by reading the book of Acts, it helps me pay more attention to where I see the Spirit at work in the world today. Now, doing things like this teach us to be open and curious so that we might see more of what God is doing. It will also challenge our assumptions about God. It will lead to new discoveries and new learnings. It'll help us grow. And that growth will lead us to change, which can disrupt the life we've been living. Now, there are a lot of positives that come with curiosity, but how do we discern whether or not the path down which curiosity is leading us is actually a good path? Well, that takes prayer, discernment, and the help of other believers. And I want you to keep in mind that not every path must be traveled. But living with a posture of openness to the work of God really is a must if we want to grow. Now, curiosity took Andrew and John down a new path with Jesus. And that expanded their understanding of God, and it forever changed their lives. That's an example I think we should follow. So let's nurture curiosity in our own lives and with each other, because it will help us grow in our understanding of God, and it'll help us grow in our understanding of how God is working in the world today. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we know that the invitation to be a disciple of Jesus is an invitation to be curious, to seek deeper understanding of who you are and how you're working in the world. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would help us live with openness. Help us live with open minds, open hearts, open hands, so that we might discover new insights about you, which will help us grow and lead to positive change in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.